Chapter 44. A frantic Dana rushes inside before I can react. She's hyperventilating so badly that I automatically usher her to the nearest chair in the dining room. Brown paper bags. Mom keeps some in the pantry for student treat bags. I'm back in a flash with one, guiding Dana to bend over and breathe into it. When you hyperventilate, your body expels carbon dioxide too quickly, I say. Recycling your breath restores the correct balance of oxygen and carbon dioxide. She coughs a laugh into the bag. Embarrassed, I look away from her. Sorry, I'm rambling. I bounce on the balls of my feet, anxious for Levi's mom to calm down enough to let me know what the hell's going on. Dana rubs her throat. Must be dry. Tea. Mom and both my grandmas would fix a cup of tea in this situation. I dash back to the kitchen and fill half a kettle from the tap. After I turn the gas burner to its highest setting, I return with a teacup and a basket of assorted tea packets. Please, Dana says, looking up from the bag. You too. I have a lot to tell you. Can I really turn in my brother to the FBI? I grab a teacup for myself. When Dana selects chai, I do the same. By the time the tea kettle whistles, Dana's breathing has returned to normal. I pour the steaming water into our dainty china teacups and return the kettle to the cooktop. On my way back to the dining table, I bring a carton of milk and the sugar bowl. My hands shake, along with Dana's. Neither of us can wait for the tea to steep properly. We use milk to cool it down. I sip it and realize Mom must not have rinsed all the dish soap from my cup. I grimace and add sugar to make it drinkable. Whatever it is that she wants to tell me must be truly awful, because I finish my tea waiting for her to begin. Levi is mixed up in something bad, Dana says finally. What is it? How bad? I hope I'm doing a decent job of looking shocked. It has to do with that Travis mess. I'm so sorry about your friend Lily. I blink at the mention of her name, surprised at how fresh the grief still feels. Dana continues, Travis was bad news, but my boy is a loyal friend. He'd go to Sugar Island to talk sense into Travis. Even Stormy knew when to cut his losses, but Levi kept trying. My brother goes to the island often, but I've always thought it was to take Stormy to his house. Stormy doesn't like going alone because he never knows how his parents are doing until he steps inside. My boy used to think goodness was stronger than darkness. Dana taps her teaspoon as if sending an urgent message in Morse code. But my Nokomis always said, you can't be around that much darkness without some of it touching you. Dana thought Levi was spending time with Travis for well-intentioned interventions, when in fact he was the mule for the meth that Travis was making. At what point did Dana catch on? Darkness touched him? I ask. One corner of her mouth twitches before she nods.
He used to confide in me.
Most boys don't tell their mothers much, but Levi did. Once he made that team, became a soup, I noticed him shutting me out, just a little at first. As Dana continues talking about Levi, her voice sounds far away, like it's coming from the end of the hallway instead of across the table. I concentrate on her words. I tried talking him out of getting the Hummer. It was too much for a 16-year-old boy. He got so angry, I ended up buying it for him. I know I shouldn't have, but I wanted things to go back to the way they were between us. Levi can be relentless when he wants something. He pestered me to be Stormy's date for Shagala last year when that was the last thing I wanted. I went to Shagala with Stormy. I trail off, unsure what point I was trying to make. That's odd. Dana's mouth is moving, but all I hear is Ron's last text. Inside my head, his voice repeating it, growing more urgent each time. Have you heard from Jamie since last night? Have you heard from Jamie since last night? Have you heard from Jamie since last night? One of Levi's teachers noticed it too, came to see me. Have you heard from Jamie since last night? Would you excuse me? I need to text someone, I say, but I'm not sure if the words actually make it out of my mouth. I push away from the table. My hands touch the rug before I realize that I'm on the floor. Get up, Nadonis. Bazigo en jisen. Harry boops my nose with her tiny cold one. I laugh. Dana coos as if I'm a baby, a wobbly baby deer. She helps me stand. So good to me. I recognize her perfume. Same as Mom's. Did they smell the same to my dad? She walks me to the front door. We slowly ease down the steps. Everything spins. Wish teacher. It's important, I think. Dana sighs wearily, helps me into an old pickup truck. All you Fontaines ever do is mess things up. Uncle David went to see Lightbulb's mom. It wasn't Angie Flint.